بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله، اللهم صل على محمد وعلي محمد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I'm making this video at the request of some brothers and sisters who had asked me to, explaining why it is that I became a Shia Muslim and why after 4 years I decided to reject Sunni Islam. I'm just going to go through some of the main reasons. I don't want to make the video too long. The main reason, in fact, the two main reasons are based on a single hadith. And this hadith is located within Sahih Muslim. It's in book 31, it's hadith number 5920. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, I am leaving among you two weighty things. The one being the book of Allah, in which there is right guidance and light. So hold fast to the book of Allah and adhere to it. He exhorted to hold fast to the book of Allah and then said, the second are the members of my household, Ahlul Bayt. I remind you of your duties to them, the members of my family, to your duties to the members of my family. So the first thing about this hadith, which became a main reason for me following it, was this line. Remember the duties, your duties to my family. Now, when you look past a lot of the, you know, covering up and the conspiracy that's been used basically to hide a lot of the historical events that took place after the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is mainly the abuse and the oppression of Ahlul Bayt, which even at some point Sunnis have to acknowledge, you know, the abuse of Fatima alayhi salam, in which she was slammed in the doorway, which caused her to have a miscarriage and eventually led to her death. You know, the poisoning of Hassan, obviously the Battle of Karbala, in which Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his companions were martyred. Later on, you'll notice that every single one of the Imams that followed that died unnatural death, meaning they either died by bloodshed or they died by poisoning. And so these are some major historical events that have been covered up, or at least kind of pushed to the side, in order to, you know, just not, so it is not brought to the attention of Muslims. So for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be telling us, remember your duties to Ahlul Bayt, but yet we're ignoring all these fundamental parts of our history for the sake of avoiding fitna. This had a major effect on me because it just didn't make sense. But we're ignoring these things, and we're not holding those who were accountable for them responsible. Then we are ignoring our duty to Ahlul Bayt. So that was the first main reason, the fact that Muslims have abandoned our duty to Ahlul Bayt, and we need to begin picking it up again. The second thing about this hadith, which is the second main reason for me accepting Shia Islam, was just the context of how he's speaking. When he tells us to hold fast to the Quran and hold fast to Ahlul Bayt, telling us this is how you follow your religion. You know, as a Sunni, what do? You follow the Quran. Obviously, every Muslim follows the Quran, but in the same sense, when you look to the Sunnah, what are you basing it upon? You're basing it upon a Salaf al-Salih, you know, the three rightly guided, you know, quote-unquote, the three rightly guided generations, or the three righteous generations, And this includes the Sahaba, the Tabi'in, the Tabi Tabi'in. This is upon who the Sunnah is based for the Sunnis. I mean, they're going to say they base it upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but when they, in terms of how they explain what that Sunnah is, it's through those men, the Salaf al-Salih. But I can't find a single hadith within any Sunni book that tells me to follow a Salaf al-Salih and the Quran. I mean, you can give me some few, you know, hadith without references that mention these generations, but you're not going to find any hadith which tells us together to follow the Quran and follow a Salaf al-Salih. Not a single one. You're not going to find a hadith which tells you to follow the Quran and follow the Sahaba. You're not going to find a hadith which tells you to follow the Quran and follow the Tabi'in, or the Tabi Tabi'in, or anybody, the four Imams, nobody. There's not a single hadith like that that exists. But we have this one authentic hadith. This one authentic hadith that tells you follow the Quran, hold fast to the Quran, and Ahlul Bayt. And this was basically just a bombshell for me, because it made me realize that, you know, we're not following the Sunnah. you know, we follow the Quran and we follow Ahlul Bayt, and the Sunnah is based upon Ahlul Bayt, not upon the Salaf, the Sahaba, Tabi'in, and Tabi'in, all these people. It's not based upon them. They hold no ground when it comes to defining what the Sunnah is. It's only these men, these men and the women, Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam. So that was the second main reason based on that hadith. The third main reason was, I've kind of briefly mentioned this a little bit, the covering up of certain historical events that took place in terms of the oppression and the abuse against Ahlul Bayt. The fact that we could ignore the fact that Fatima was angry with Abu Bakr alayhi salam up until the time she died, and he had denied her her right of inheritance, this is a serious issue. The fact that she, there are, Sunni sources, talking about the fact that she was slammed in the doorway and abused, and she had a miscarriage, this is a serious issue, the fact that we're not talking about this. The fact that, Imam Ali was denied his right. The fact that, Imam Hassan was poisoned by a slave who had been coerced by malaria. The fact that Omar ibn Yasir, who was a follower of Ahlul Bayt, who remained loyal to Ahlul Bayt, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Omar ibn Yasir that you're going to be killed by a kafir, you're going to be killed by disbelievers. And it was the armies of Muawiyah who killed him. The fact that, we ignore, everything that happened at Karbala. The fact that we ignore the fact that, every single one of the imams was killed, through assassination. This the fact that we ignore all these events and we sweep them under the rug, and on top of that, the Sunnis will tell you don't talk about them. They're going to tell you, don't bring them up. That fitna was between them, it's not between us. But the reality is that fitna that took place 1400 years ago between the Sahaba, between the companions, between Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that fitna affects us all the way up until the day of judgment. Because we all know as Muslims that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam plays a major role when it comes to understanding our deen in terms of the ending times in the last days. So what Mahdi are you going to follow? The Mahdi who has in fact been in occultation for however many, I can't remember the exact number of years, but since for the time that he has, are we going to follow the one who's just going to claim that he is, and the Sunnis are going to follow? This was a major issue, the fact that we were covering this up, we were hiding it, and on top of hiding it, we were ignoring it on purpose, and we were being told not to talk about it. And anytime someone tells you you're not allowed to talk about something, and you're not allowed to read about something, and you're not allowed to research about something, it means two things. One, they're hiding something, and two, obviously, it's not the correct methodology. So this was, the next main reason for me to reject Sunni Islam and accept Shia Islam. And obviously the fourth reason, which is the last reason, I mean there's tons of reasons, but I'm just going to go through the main ones. The last reason is my love for Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to remember your duty to them, to follow them, they are purified, so on and so forth. And I have a love for Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and that love is so much that I would, I would give my life for them. And this is a love that Sunnis don't have for Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. I don't mean to start fitting up by saying that, but that's a reality. And when I left Sunni Islam and some of my Sunni friends had approached me and talked to me, I remember one of them told me, he said, said something another, and then he said, Ahlul Bayt belongs to us. Talking about, Ahlul Bayt belongs to the Sunnis. And I didn't say anything to him, just to avoid the fitna, I didn't want to get in an argument. But what I said to myself, and what I said, later on when I told people about it, they said, Ahlul Bayt, they belong to no one but Allah. And we belong to Ahlul Bayt. Our service is to Ahlul Bayt. So how are you going to say Ahlul Bayt belongs to you? So the fourth reason, like I said, is my love for Ahlul Bayt. Remembering my duty to them, my obligation to them, my servitude to them. And to be a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be a servant to the messenger and Ahlul Bayt. As simple as that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sallam. And so that's the reason I became a Shia Muslim. There's going to be more to come after this. I'm going to be doing videos, obviously. I'm going to be maybe doing a few projects on a few things. When you learn something, you have to teach it. You have to enjoin the good for the evil, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says within Surah 3, verse 104. This is our obligation, and inshallah, thanks for listening and thanks for watching. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.